Wake up with the news and information you can trust. This is the Andy Griffin Show on News Radio 890, 92.5 KDXU, Southern Utah's News Talk leader.
How was your weekend? Good morning, everybody. I'm Andy Griffin. This is the Andy Griffin Show. Jack Lancaster is with me.
Good morning.
Along to the team.
Glad to be here, man.
Yeah, you look great, man.
Thank you.
Life treating you well?
Yeah, life's great.
Did you do anything exciting this week?
We went to Mexico City for a week.
Ooh,
and nice. Yeah, went to a concert down there.
A concert? Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. This is like a Mexican superstar that your wife likes, right?
No.
No?
Simply Red.
Oh, he went to Simply Red. It's not very Mexican, is it?
No, he's British. Yeah, he sold out three nights down there.
Simply Red. Okay. Uh-huh. That's a guy? That's not it's a group, right?
It's a group. The guy's name is Mick Hucknall, but he did If You Don't Know Me By Now. Mm-hmm. He got big in the early.
That's pretty old, isn't it?
Yeah, it's 85.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah, I actually got a CD that came out in 85, 86.
You still have it?
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah. But he's had a bunch of other stuff lately too, you know, not lately, but like in the early 2000s, that's really good. Sunrise, and he did a song called, I can't think of the name now, but it's he pulls a lot of this, you know, the Hall & Oates song, I Can't Go For That?
No Can Do.
Yeah, he pulls the riff out of that for that song.
Nice.
It's a really good song. Yeah.
Nice.
So yeah, we had a good, there's a funny story, I don't know if you want to hear this.
Sure.
So Mexico City is traffic jam central all the time.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
Pretty bad.
So it takes an hour to go 2 or 3 miles.
And there's like 20 million people in Mexico City,
yeah, it's
right?
Like the largest city on the planet.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it's not built for that many people. So, you know. So we're going from the hotel to the auditorium. Mm-hmm. The show starts at 9. We're leaving at 8. And it's 2 miles away. It's going to take us a half hour.
Okay. You could have walked quicker.
Probably could have, but yeah. You don't want to walk at night in Mexico City. That's another thing.
Yeah.
So we hire an Uber, okay? And we get an Uber. He picks us up at the hotel. We go along. You know, it takes half hour to get there. And we get to the auditorium, and it's traffic jammed right there in front of the auditorium, and we're at a red light. So we just say, okay, we'll get out of the cab. We'll get out of the Uber right here, and we'll just walk in, even though he's not parking in a parking area or anything. And my wife is struggling to give the driver a cash tip, even though you can tip on the app. And she leaves her phone in the car.
Uh-oh.
So we get out, and we hike up the steps, and she goes, where's my phone? And I said, I don't know. So we have this app called Life 360, my wife and I and my kids.
And
whenever we all go to Mexico, everybody joins the group. Just, you know, it's kind of a safety thing. And there's her phone just going down the street. So I go running back down to the street. Of course, he's already gone. And so we start calling and calling and calling the phone, and he's not answering. And so I go onto the Uber app and say, hey, we left our phone in the car. And they text me his cell phone number, the driver's cell phone number. Start calling that. Nothing. No, he's not picking up. Well, what the hell, you know?
He's got himself an $800 phone.
I think so. That's what he thought. But we can see where it's at, right? So I said, we gotta flag down a taxi. Because she goes, well, we're going to miss the concert. And I says, well, your phone's more important. Because she's on her phone is business and everything. You know, she runs our business. So we flag this taxi down, this young taxi driver, really nice kid. And we said, follow that phone. So give him
He didn't jump out and start running, did he?
No, Maxwell Smart. No. Yeah. So he gets on the phone, and you know, we got the app, and it's got a map right there, so we can see where everything is. This guy, he's like going up on sidewalks, getting around cars, going through red lights. No kidding, right? It took us 30 minutes. We caught up to their phone. He goes, is that the car? And I go, yeah, that's it. So we follow him. He makes a left turn. He gets stuck at a red light. My wife and I both jump out, and we go running up to the driver's windows. And I get there first, and I said, hey, man, give me my phone. And he looks at me, and he's all, puts his hands in the air, and he's like, trunk, trunk. And my wife, at the same time, on the driver's side, in Spanish, says, give me my phone, you know. And he's like, he's really freaked out.
Yeah, he thinks he's being robbed, maybe.
Well, yeah, yeah. And then he goes into the glove box, and he has the phone in the glove box.
Hmm.
So instead
he was planning on keeping.
Oh yeah. Because what was going on is we were calling after about the fourth or fifth phone call, it was just going straight to voicemail. It was like ring once and then go to voicemail, ring once, go to, so we knew. And we thought, you know, if he had somehow left it in the back seat or something or on the floor, you know, and he didn't know it was in there, maybe he just, because it's noisy. Yeah. But he had it in the glove box. That dude was so mad. So then the taxi driver took us back to the concert. We missed the first, you know, 10 minutes.
They have an opening act that you missed? Or
yeah, I missed the first song.
Oh, that's all right.
Yeah.
Well, I'm glad you got the phone back.
Yeah. That's crazy. Yeah. Anyway, then we did the pyramids. We did the pyramids down there at, I forget the
Aztec
name. Yeah, they're the Aztec pyramids.
Chichen Itza?
Chichen Itza. No, that's not it.
Okay.
Xochimilco?
I have no idea. Teotihuacan.
Teotihuacan.
Oh, okay.
And then there's we did that for a day, and then another day we did Xochimilco, which is the and we went to the Island of the Dolls, which is this haunted island, and it's about an hour boat ride. So the guys that are they're pushing the boats with the poles, you know, this is so Mexico. So you get out on the boats, and then the guys come up, want to sell you elotes, and then the boat comes up, want to sell you ponchos. Another boat comes up, and they got desserts or ice cream. Yeah. And mariachi bands are on there, and they want to play, you know, for you. And the boats have a table in the middle, so you're eating your lunch while you're going. Anyway, it's a fun thing. Mm-hmm. And we go over, and it takes us an hour to get out to this Island of the Dolls. And it was famous because the Ghost Adventure guys spent the night out there and captured some real interesting stuff.
Okay.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Right. Yeah. It's creepy, man. It's total creepy.
How long were you there?
We were there about an hour and a half, and there was a guide there, and he showed us around. And there's like 5,000 dolls on this island. And so the original guy, this woman, I'm thinking what happened is, I'm probably getting the story wrong. But this woman had drowned her daughter, went crazy and drowned her daughter, and then she drowned herself. Hmm. So the guy, knowing the story, and he had a feeling that the spirit of the daughter, you know, needed something to play with, so he brought a doll out there. Well, the story got out, and everybody started giving him dolls.
Oh, boy.
For the daughter to play with, yeah. Hmm. And I actually have a video from the guy that was our boat driver. You know, the pole guy, of an apparition that somebody had given to him. Wow. Out there. So, yeah, it was kind of fun.
Supernatural, actually. Yeah. There on the Island of Dolls.
Yeah, huh? Yeah.
And that is what part of Mexico are you
in? That's just in Mexico City, you know. Yeah. And, crazy town.
I'm glad you came back, man.
Yeah, we made it.
Nothing got you.
So we spent a couple of days in Puebla. My wife's family all lives down there. So we went, took a three-hour bus ride to Puebla. That's a beautiful town, and then we went to a little village. There's an Italian village down there that's all Italian
village in Mexico. Uh-huh.
Yeah, and it's not a village where the Italians created it, but some developer about 20 years ago started building this village, and it's all walking. So you park in a parking area, you take a shuttle into this village, and it's just restaurants and shops, and you feel like you're in Venice or something. You know, like it's really cool. Yeah.
So I got to ask you, so.
You started it, man.
I know. I've been to Mexico once or twice, but I wasn't never comfortable because I didn't have anybody that spoke Spanish with me. And of course, we went to the tourist areas, and most of them speak English anyway.
Yeah.
But you were able to get a little bit of an insight into Mexico, and you've been there before because your wife is Mexican and she speaks Spanish.
Yeah.
Would you have been comfortable going to some of these places you went by yourself without your wife?
Well, no.
No?
No. You can get along with some rudimentary Spanish. Okay, my wife's texting me now. You can get along with
She's
some
correcting you on things, I'm sure.
Yeah, let's see. 2 hours and a half to get to the island. Oh, 2.5 hours to get to the island.
That's quite a ride.
Yeah. If you knew enough Spanish for directions, what's really valuable is left, right, and straight ahead.
Mm.
You know, izquierda is left. Derecha is right. Derecho is straight ahead, for example.
Wait, which one was right?
Derecha.
And what's straight?
Derecho.
Oh, my gosh. Is one letter difference between right and straight?
Yeah, it's the feminine.
I can see that being very confused.
Izquierda is left.
Well, that one I could get. But the other two that are one letter apart, I think I'd be in
trouble. Derecho, derecha.
especially if they talk fast. Uh-huh. I'd be like, now what?
And then, because it's really important to know when you ask somebody in a panic, and I had this happen to me. ¿Dónde está el baño, por favor?
Bathroom, yeah.
And you need to know, understand the answer.
Yeah. Oh, you can ask all you want if you don't know what the, yeah.
If you don't understand the answer, you're in for a world of hurt, buddy.
Yeah, where is the bathroom?
Yeah.
I'll tell you, but you're not going to understand it. We wanted to talk about another island, the island of Korea.
Okay. North Korea?
North Korea specifically.
The peninsula?
Share with South Korea, but South Korea is a democratic country, and North Korea is decidedly not.
Well, they call themselves the Democratic People's Republic.
We've heard that before, right?
Yeah.
So I know you've done some studying on mm-hmm. Korea a little bit. I found this a couple of lists of things that they're not allowed, regular everyday things that you're not allowed to do. There's a few of them, and we'll go over a couple of them, but one of them actually really shocked me. So on the anniversary every year of the death of their, I don't even, the guy that kind of founded the communist movement.
Kim Il-sung, he's the deer leader.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The what leader?
The deer leader.
What does that mean, deer?
That's just how they refer to him.
Okay.
The deer leader.
The deer leader. Okay. Mm-hmm. D-E-A-R. Okay. Anyway, on the anniversary, which is July 8th of every year, mm-hmm. of his death, you are not allowed in Korea to smile or laugh.
Mm-hmm.
No jocularity, no happiness, no. On that day, everyone must be somber.
Yeah.
And you think, oh, what's the big deal? What are they going to do? They're going to yell at you? Well, actually, they do more than yell at you. You could be taken to I know you called it a re-education camp, but basically a concentration camp if you laugh or smile on the anniversary of this guy's death.
Yeah. And if you didn't, when he died, and then when his son died, Kim Jong-il, then if you didn't grieve enough with enough enthusiasm,
right.
you could have been taken away as well.
It's unbelievable. I think, you know, I hear people, and we've had a couple of guests on this show from other countries, and they said, I always say, what's your impression of the United States? They're like, the one thing that I notice more than anything else from any other country I've been in is the freedom, the amount of freedom that America affords you. She said, there are certain things even in my, I had one lady on from, dang it, I can't remember the name of the country, near Romania. Anyway, she was on the show and she said, even in my country, there are certain things you just can't do. They're illegal. It's just in the United States, beyond, you know, criminal activities, you can do anything you want.
Yeah.
Anytime you want.
In fact, I was watching a video yesterday about the thought police in Germany.
Yeah.
And you cannot insult someone on the internet. They'll fine you.
Hmm. Even today.
Yeah. And even if you share a meme, if you share a insulting meme. Yeah.
German. It's unbelievable.
Yeah.
All right, let's talk a couple of basic everyday things that we take for granted. For instance, browsing the internet.
Uh-huh.
And here you can pretty much go anywhere you want.
Yeah. So in North Korea, I watched this video, and these guys were touring. You can only, if you tour North Korea, you can only do it with a guide.
A government employee.
A government guide. And there's usually you're in a group, and usually the guides, there's four or five of them, you know, watching everybody. Mm-hmm. So they took them to an internet cafe or an internet place, I think in a library or something. And all the people were sitting on the computers, and it had the word Google popping up, but nobody was doing anything. So they weren't even searching. It just had the Google page, the landing page for Google.
Because
that's all it was.
They weren't allowed to.
Well, no, but they thought that, see, our guys are on the internet, see?
Yeah, they were, it was a show.
Yeah,
okay,
yeah.
Got it, yeah. How about watching TV, Jack, in Korea? Tell us about the TV.
In North Korea, they have...
North Korea, yeah.
Yeah, in the city, in the capital city, which, but on the country, I don't think you get much, because it's very mountainous. But in the capital city, there's three or four TV stations, but they're all government-owned. They all are government propaganda all the time. Even the cartoons, they have a cartoon hour, and it's government propaganda. And they hate the U.S. The U.S. is the enemy, and
yes.
They depict the U.S. as murderers, and
right.
So yeah.
So you don't get to watch whatever you want, is what you're saying.
I mean, yeah.
All right. Driving. I did not know this about North Korea. First of all, women are not allowed to have a driver's license. Hmm. Women are not allowed to drive in North Korea. And for men, you have to have a special dispensation, a special permission from the government that you need to drive to get to your work.
Yeah.
Nobody goes for a drive for fun in North Korea.
No, you don't do that. The freeways there are empty. The roads are empty. The big boulevards in the capital city are pretty much empty. And they have traffic guards out there on these intersections, waving their flags and doing their motions to nobody.
Oh, man. I guess traveling, leaving the country. You're not allowed to leave the country unless you get a special government permission, and you're not allowed to go out of the country for pleasure. It's the only time you're allowed to leave is if you're on a government.
Yeah, well, they exported some soldiers for Russia.
Yeah.
And Russia, before the Ukraine war, and I don't know if they're still doing that, they probably are, they were hiring North Korea to send workers to harvest timber in eastern Russia and send the profits all back to North Korea. So basically these folks are slaves, you know.
Yeah.
And they live in these camps that are off limits to even Russians. And they go out and they harvest the trees, and they're not allowed to talk to anybody else.
No.
So, but I'll tell you a fun fact. When the new leader, Kim Jong-un, I think's his name, when he came to power, of course, he's not the oldest son of the last guy.
Yeah, how did that end? Well, the oldest son is the one.
The oldest son, because, you know, even though they're communists, communism doesn't necessarily go like a monarchy, which is kind of what this is, like a kingdom.
Yeah.
Because now it's a monarchy because it's going to prodigy, the oldest son. And the oldest son was not adept. In fact, they thought he might be gay or something. So he was being ostracized, but because he was part of the royal family, you know. But when the son came to power, Kim Jong-un, he could not. Have you heard of like palace intrigue where the siblings become rivals over the throne?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
He literally hired assassins in Indonesia to murder his brother at the airport.
Wow.
So what they did was, and this is on video. They got this these 20-something girls who thought they were doing a reality show, like a Dare Me reality show. And they set this whole thing up, and they went up to this guy, come up behind him, and covered his mouth with this cloth that was saturated in this nerve agent. And within about 4 hours, he was dead.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. Well, now he's the oldest son of you.
Yeah, now he is. And then he hauled off his most powerful general from his father's regime and accused him, like within 6 months, of being a traitor and had him executed by artillery.
Wow.
You understand? Not firing squad, artillery.
They blew him up?
They shot a cannon at the guy. Blew him up.
Man.
Yeah.
They are very conscious of the evils of Western culture.
Mm-hmm.
For instance, they don't allow skinny jeans. They don't allow mm-hmm. you to color your hair. In fact, your hair, they have 28 hairstyles you're allowed to have
right.
in Korea. 14 for the women, 14 for the men.
Yeah.
Your hair must conform to one of those 28 styles.
And in fact, the leader right now, he wears the hairstyle that his grandfather wore.
Mm.
And as a sign that he is, you know, part of that. Yeah.
There was a guy, and this is a different topic, but same deal. A guy that owned a factory in Korea.
North Korea.
And he had in the basement of his factory, hidden to the authorities, he thought, were some phones that could make international calls. And basically his goal was he would take a lot of his workers had relatives in South Korea.
Mm-hmm.
And he wanted them to be able to call their relatives. He thought this was a really cool thing to do for these people. And, well, the government found out. And not only did they execute him by firing squad, not artillery, but six other people were also executed for making phone calls to South Korea.
Yeah. So they have a really weird tradition over there, and it's part of the thing that you do. So once a week, I think it's once a week, the neighborhood gets together, and they have a neighborhood captain for every neighborhood, and everybody gets together, and they have a self-confession meeting.
Really?
So everyone self-confesses their sins of the past week.
Huh.
to the group in the neighborhood. And if some, and if they don't confess enough sins, then they start getting looked at by the secret police. And, yeah. And if their sins that they confess are too egregious, then they get hauled off right then and there anyway, or they get reported. But they have to confess their sins and flagellate, self-flagellate themselves verbally to the group every week. Everybody has to do it.
When it comes to what you do for a living in North Korea, you don't get to choose. The government, everyone takes a test when they finish schooling, and the government then determines what you would be best at, and they assign you a career based on how you do on these tests. Mm-hmm. I have kids, college-age kids right now, and they're thinking about what they want to do for the future, what they want to spend their lives as their careers. And can you imagine being told you will do this, period, mm-hmm. the rest of your life?
Mm-hmm.
I'd be miserable.
Yeah.
I'd be miserable. Yeah. I wonder what I'd be doing instead of radio.
I don't know.
And the biggest no-no in North Korea is, even if you're a foreigner visiting or on the internet, you cannot talk bad about North Korea.
Oh, government. No. Huge problem. There was a group of reporters that went over there that went over with this. I'm trying to get my story straight. There was this doctor that went over, and he was not sure what nationality he was. I think he was Indian. It's possible he was French or something. And he was an eye doctor. And over there, there's a big problem with cataracts in North Korea. And a lot of reason people get cataracts is because they're malnourished.
Right.
And most of the people in North Korea are malnourished, unless you're part of the government. So he went over there, and he got permission to do, the goal was to do 150 cataract surgeries in 2 days, something like that. Okay. So he goes over there, and he brings this American reporter with him to document. Well, she goes rogue and goes off with these families, and then she starts asking people about, so what do you do if the leader makes a mistake? The reporter said that, and they didn't know how to answer it. Well, he doesn't make mistakes.
Yeah.
You know, he can't. You know, what do you, mistake, leader? Yeah. No, he doesn't do that. What the fascinating thing was when this doctor, and it showed this, the people had the bandages on their eyes, you know, for like a day, you know, after the surgeries for the cataracts. And when they start peeling back the bandages, and these poor people get to see, because they've been blind for the first time in years, they go over to the pictures of the dear leader and the other, and his son, the great leader, and they start bowing down and giving him thanks for their sight.
So he's the guy that kept them blind all these years.
He's the guy that allowed them to get their sight back.
Right, but what I'm saying is he's the guy that actually caused them to be blind. The doctor is the one that fixed their sight, and they don't...
Come on.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I guess the bottom line as we finish this segment up is, as you drive your car today and go get an ice cream or whatever it is you choose to do today, as you go to your job that you chose, be grateful that you live where you live. Jack, you're a business owner.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know that that's allowed, at least not to the extent that you have in North Korea like it is here. And just be, you know.
It's a beautiful thing. And, you know, I think one of the more beautiful things about our country is our freedom of speech. Even Canada doesn't have freedom of speech, you know. You go, you know, those ice road truckers that were, going into Ottawa, two winters ago when they were protesting the COVID restrictions they had over there.
Yeah.
You know, they were getting their bank accounts frozen.
Yeah.
You know.
By the government. Yep.
So it's, you don't have freedom of speech even in Canada, even in England, even in Germany. Yeah, North Korea is pretty bad. It's like the worst.
Yep.
It's right up there with Cuba.
Yeah. All right, we got a commercial break. More with Jack Lancaster on this Monday morning after this.
All the latest news, weather, traffic, and sports, just like you like them. You're waking up with the Andy Griffin Show on News Radio 890, 92.5 KDXU, Southern Utah's news talk leader.
Welcome back. I'm Andy. Jack is here as well on this Monday, the 10th day of March, 2025. I think it's like the 69th day of the year or something like that.
If you believe it already?
It goes fast, doesn't it?
Wow.
It is roaring by. Some news from this morning. Five people were injured in a plane crash in Pennsylvania, but they all walked away alive.
Well, that's good news.
From a plane crash. And I thought, I've been on many an airplane. I've had a couple where there was some turbulence way up high. You know, we're 40,000 feet high, and we're you know, flying through a storm or whatever. There's some turbulence, but I don't think I've ever felt feared for my life on an airplane. Have you?
Well, I'm nervous landing and taking off mostly is when I'm nervous.
Okay,
but I always just figure I'm, you know, this is the last few moments of my life anyway. So I don't know. When we flew down to Mexico on this trip, we were over probably Arizona, and it was clear blue skies. We flew out of Vegas. We have a direct flight from Vegas to Mexico City, and we were only in the flight 30 minutes. And, man, it started getting bumpy. They had to stop the service. They had started the service, you know, the drinks and whatnot. And they had to stop the service. And we didn't get it back the rest of the flight. It was bumpy all the way down. And it was clear as a bell out there. I don't know why it was bumpy, but it was. And it was nerve-wracking. We got a little nervous, you know, but.
Years ago, you were probably working here, Western Air. Do you remember Western Air? One of the sponsors. Anyway, they used to fly Mike and I to Dixie games if they were in, say, Twin Falls, or they were in Seattle or wherever.
Did they fly out of the St. George Airport?
They would fly out of St. George and take us to, of course, that was in the airport, was up on the ridge there.
Yeah.
But, they used to fly us to games, and it's funny. I would say everybody else would fall asleep, and I'd go up and hang out with the pilot.
That's
what I like to do, is go hang out with him. And I would ask him over and over again, and I asked him like four times, and I said, have you ever had to ditch an airplane? And I don't know if there's like a pilot rule. We don't talk about that.
Yeah, thing, but probably bad luck.
He said, I've never felt like my life was in danger while piloting a plane. That was always his answer. I'm like, so that's a yes. And I guess you don't talk about it because you don't want the passengers to get nervous whatever. So that was an interesting experience. My first time really, I'd been in like a Cessna or something, but this is my first time I was ever in a small plane, passenger plane.
Yeah. I had a roommate that was a pilot, and he was also a certified pilot's instructor. So he was a teacher of other.
Okay. Pretty smart guy then.
Yeah. And, he really thought he was smart too. And
how do you know someone's a pilot? Just wait a minute, they'll tell you. That kind of thing.
Yeah. Kind of like vegetarians.
Yeah.
And we flew in and out of St. George in these small Cessnas a lot. He would take me up flying with him. He says, yeah, I got an extra seat. You want to come up? I'm training a guy today. And I'll go with you. And there was one of those days we were coming back. It was summertime in St. George. And you know how sometimes in the summer the wind kind of comes up here, the gusty back and forth winds.
Yeah, yeah.
And when you're coming in on final at St. George on the Black Hill, when you cross that ridge, there's usually an updraft.
Yeah.
You know, in the summertime like that. Man, we hit an updraft and we went sideways and we had to go around and come back the other way.
Mm.
You know, instead of flying, you know, landing from north looking south, we had to fly and land south looking north. And
wow.
I almost got airsick. That was the only time. And I don't get seasick or airsick. That was crazy. So, yeah, I guess there was that time.
I did learn some things with the small planes. For instance, I remember flying once from St. George to, I want to say, like Rexburg or something. Uh-huh. We were going for a ball game. And I'm sitting up there talking to the pilot, and we're getting close to Rexburg, and he flicks the switch, and I said, what are you doing? He says, I just turned the runway lights on.
Oh, yeah.
I said, you what?
Yeah.
He said, yeah, I had to, they don't turn, they leave them off at night unless someone's coming in. And he says, I got a little button here that'll turn the lights on. I'm like, wait a minute. How does that work that a guy in an airplane can turn on runway lights?
Yeah, it's kind of brilliant, though, isn't it?
It is cool, but I don't know how he did it.
Yeah, well, one time we flew these guys with my roommate, and we were in a Cessna 210. I don't know if that's got the kind. It's a fast airplane, and it has a landing gear that pulls up, retractable.
Okay. Oh, yeah, yeah. Okay.
And we flew him to Salt Lake City, and then we flew back. He let me fly back half the way back. Just
really?
Hold the thing, yeah. And
don't make any sense.
We flew over Delta, right?
Uh-huh.
And he says, watch right down there. And he pointed to an area, and it was pitch black. It was the middle of the night. And he goes, so he flicks the switch, and those runway lights turned on at Delta Airport.
He was messing with them. Huh?
Yeah.
Somebody down there on the ground going, what's going on here?
Yeah.
The other thing I found out was a lot of the small airports have what they call a loaner car. for pilots to fly in and they don't have any kind of transportation.
They don't have any way to get away from the airport.
You go to Salt Lake, you got cabs and Ubers and all kinds. But if you go into Twin Falls or you go into Provo or wherever it is, you need a way to get around.
Yeah.
And so they have these loaner cars. And so I remember him, he's on the airplane, he's calling ahead to Twin Falls and he says, "Hey, you guys got a loaner for us?" And they had, the one car they had been loaned out already.
Oh no.
And he said, I was like, "We got a ball game in like 2 hours." He goes, "Don't worry, I'll find us a ride." And we got lucky. By the time we landed, the loaner car had been returned, we had a vehicle to get to the game.
Wow.
And we were kind of nervous there for a while. I'm like, "How do I get from the airport to..." But it was a fun experience flying around with Western Air.
Yeah.
I don't know whatever happened to that guy. He was losing money and ended up going out of business.
Oh.
But, you know, that
was
the old
SkyWest.
He kind of had basically no chance. How do you compete with the big boys, right?
Yeah.
So, Jack Lancaster with me today. Also in the news today, let's see, what was that other story? Oh, a government shutdown is approaching. And then the tariffs. I always think it's fascinating. When you come in on Monday mornings here to do the news, they always have some interview that happened on one of the news talkies on Sunday that nobody watched.
Yeah.
But these reporters, there's nothing to do on Monday morning. So they go in and they watch these old episodes and then they write a story about what something somebody said. And
right.
So this one this week, Trump was on one of the shows, something on Fox or something. And they pointedly asked him, "Do you see us going into a recession in order to, you know, eventually get your plan into place?" And President Trump said, "I don't like to predict things like that." That's all he said.
Uh-huh.
Well, they jumped on that. President Trump didn't deny there's going to be a recession, and it was all over the news this morning. All these stories about President Trump not denying that there might be a recession coming, and I was just like talking about making a story out of nothing.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, well, that's what they like to do about him, anyway.
He did say, by the way, that the tariffs for Mexico and Canada they're planning, even though they delayed it a month. So I think we have till the end of this month before they actually go in effect. But he said, "We're not lifting them. We just delayed them to give them more of an opportunity to do what we've asked them to do. And the number one thing is to try to slow down curb the flow of fentanyl in our country."
Right. Right.
So
yeah.
I thought he would, because we had the North American free trade agreement and all that stuff. I thought he would maybe, say, "Well, that was all a bluff," or take him off or whatever. But he's not. He's standing.
Well, he's using them as a, it's funny because Canada and Mexico looks at the trade as some kind of a punitive thing because, of course, Trump is racist. And so he hates, people who aren't.
Yeah.
But really, he just wants the drug. He says, "No, this is a drug thing. This is a drug war thing. This is not and it's what's best for America." Some people still don't understand what the guy's all about, and I guess you can't blame them in a way because they're used to dealing with the last guy, and
yeah, the last guy.
So, he just is going to do what's best, and I do believe he's sincere about that. And this is one way to get that, to get the governments. Of course, Mexico, they're scared to death of their own cartel anyway.
I was going to say, is the government really in charge in Mexico?
In some parts, yeah.
Yeah.
But in some parts, no. Mm-hmm. So, it could get ugly down there. And it could pull us into a thing,
Yeah.
It's possible, because now that they've identified the cartels as terrorist organizations, it gives us, in our laws, legal authority to do what we have to do to take them out on foreign soil. Mm. And that could be an issue. You think about it. Think about
Mexico. Mexico doesn't want to see Apache helicopters in their country.
And it's possible. And, when we were down there, we toured the castle down in Mexico City. There's a castle down there. And when the U.S. When the American-Mexican War happened in 1916, we invaded Mexico City. We captured Mexico City.
I did not know that.
Yeah. In fact, in that castle, there's a story about how we went down there and how the brave young cadets, because the castle at the time was used as a military training base, fought to defend with their lives from the Americans down there.
Okay. And, did you bring up the Alamo to them, by the way?
No. That's not a place to do that.
I'm just saying.
I respect their history, man. It's there from their point of view. You understand that? You
know? Oh yeah, absolutely. I'm just saying. I'm from
but
Texas.
But that's when the United States took possession and Mexico ceded California, Nevada, Utah, Arizona, New Mexico from them. That was the Treaty of Guadalupe Hidalgo.
Se bueno.
Yes. Se bueno.
All right. We'll be right back.
Wake up with the news and information you can trust. This is the Andy Griffin Show on News Radio 890, 92.5 KDXU, Southern Utah's news talk leader.
People. Did you just figure it out?
Yeah.
Okay. We do want to. I hesitate to endorse this website, but if you're on Facebook and you want to have a good time reading comments and stuff, St. George Word of Mouth is quite an interesting little Facebook page. And this weekend, they had someone had put up a picture of a personalized license plate that was the number one, and then the letters T O O. Uh-huh. And then a space, and then what was that?
Number three.
3FL.
Yeah.
1-T-O-O, 3FL.
Uh-huh. No, it was just T-O. I don't think it was
no, there one. Were two O's. There were two O's. Yep, T-O-O.
Yeah, but O.
1-T-O-O. The letter one, then T-O-O, and then
there a was space. A letter one?
Yeah.
A letter.
So it was. It actually read like 1-2-3, and then F-L at the end. Yeah.
Oh,
and it was funny reading the comments. There were hundreds of comments of people trying to figure out what license plate meant.
Yeah.
And maybe one of our listeners knows, wants to text me 467-5842, 435-467-5842, or you can call 673-5842.
I don't remember the number one in front of the T. I thought it was just T-O-O-3-F-L.
No, it's one.
Because there could go, okay, now hold on here.
I remember.
Okay. Right. There can only be seven letters, right?
Yeah.
And there's a space between the two.
Yeah.
So if it's 1-T-O-O, that's four.
Yeah.
Space. And then there wouldn't be no room for a space.
Mm.
So it was T-O-O-3-F-L. And a space between the O and the three.
If you we should, somebody probably looking
I think
at
I
it
figured
right
it
now.
Out.
Yeah?
Yeah. Two evil.
Two evil?
Evil.
But I swear there was a one. Cause it,
no.
Because it's, yeah, it was like no. 1-2-3.
No. I don't think so.
Somebody look it up. Somebody look it up. We disagree on this one. There used to be, I don't know if people remember this, there used to be a game show that the whole point was they would flash up on the screen a couple of personalized license plates, and the contestants had to figure out what they said. And
yeah.
I don't remember the name of the show. I don't know that it lasted very long, but it was entertaining.
Yeah,
and I think it's kind of fun. And my wife and I always go around looking. The best one, sometimes you have a license plate that it says Bob or George or whatever right. it is. You're like, okay. But the ones that are fun are that combine numbers and letters
right, to make
give
something.
You some kind of message.
Right.
Those are fun to figure out. So,
yeah.
Have you ever gotten a personalized plate, Jack?
No, I thought about it, but I never have just gotten around to it.
I had one years ago.
Yeah. What was it?
We had a van. It was not a minivan. It was a full-size van for my five kids. I had five children. And the mine was easy to figure out. It was GRFMBL. GRFMBL. We called it the Griffmobile.
Griffmobile.
Yeah, the Griffmobile. And unfortunately, the license plate lasted just fine. The vehicle did not.
Oh,
it,
no.
I forget what the mechanic said, but basically it died.
Oh.
It died. We took it to Salt Lake. It died in Salt Lake. Like six of the cylinders. It was a 12-cylinder van. Six of the cylinders blew.
12-cylinder van?
Yeah. And we ended up having to, we bought a car that didn't fit everybody, and we had to get a friend who was going from Salt Lake to St. George to take half of our kids home.
My goodness.
So, yeah, it was quite the...
What's the adventure?
My friend was like, what kind of person buys a car that doesn't fit all his kids? What's wrong with you? I'm like, we were kind of in a pinch here. We had to do what we had to do. So, it happens sometimes. A couple of reports from this weekend. First of all, the Unplugged, I did it on Saturday, and I decided it worked so well on Saturday, I did it on Sunday as well. Basically, I did not use my phone except for as a phone.
Oh, okay.
Over the weekend. No social media, no scrolling endlessly through the rabbit hole.
Yeah.
I did it, and it was not as hard as I thought. It actually was kind of nice.
Yeah.
I did one time on Saturday. On Sunday. So my technically my fast was from Friday night to Saturday night. On Sunday, I did go on the internet and look something up that I wanted to know the answer to.
Oh, okay.
But, first of all, I wasn't even going to do Sunday. And second of all, I don't feel like that was really, I wasn't scrolling through social media or anything.
Yeah.
So it felt good. And I would recommend for those of you, you know, if you need your phone for work or you need your phone to help you navigate or something, you know, use it. But if you don't need it for some of that other, you know, social media crap and stuff, put it away for a while.
I'm doing right? My daughter does this. She went to chess.com and she...
Chess?
Chess, like the game, chess.
Yeah.
And her and I play chess now.
Oh, nice.
On the phone.
That's pretty cool.
So I'd make a move and then I send it. And then she makes a move, she sends it back.
Yeah, kind of like the old pen pal thing that people used to do.
I
actually, my family was into Words with Friends, which was a form of Scrabble where you took turns and sent it to the other person, and they took their turn. And that was really good, but unfortunately, nobody would play me.
Are you pretty good?
Yeah, I was pretty good at it, and to the point where the only one left that would play me would be my wife, and she's very non-competitive. She didn't care about the score.
Oh.
But my kids were all like, I'm not playing Dad anymore. Oh, well, it happens. And the swearing thing. So I had a little side bet, and we bet like for drinks or ice cream or whatever, me and the boss, right, Bart. And he said, I heard that swearing is a sign of intelligence. People that swear a lot are people who are really smart. And I said,
I heard that recently too.
I said, Bart, show me the documentation on it. So he searched through the internet. He found one article written by the University of Cal at San Diego, UCSD, that said that they studied like 112 people and they found that the ones that swore were more intelligent than the ones that didn't. First of all, small sample size. Second of all, who takes any kind of academic advice from the University of Cal at San Diego? Really? So I was able to find four articles that said exactly the opposite. One of them based in University of Connecticut,
which
I would trust more than I would trust University of San Diego. So,
who won the bet?
So when I told him I had four articles countering his one article, he said, "Well, all right, I'll buy you a drink." And I was like, I felt bad enough because I, you know, kind of had to prove him wrong that I'm like, "Ah, but we'll just go Dutch treat. I'll buy mine, you buy yours. We're good."
No, you should let him buy you a drink. He can afford it. Come on,
He can. He makes way more than I do.
Know.
Yeah,
jeez. So you won your bet, man.
Yeah. So I try very hard not to cuss. I really do. I mean, sometimes I'll under my breath maybe, but nobody else can hear
under
it,
my breath.
You know?
Yeah, that's a whole thing.
And I'm working on the other thing I'm working on, and Mello and I talked about this on Friday, was the replacement words for cuss words. Like damage, I say sometimes instead of the actual word and that's actually probably just as bad as go ahead and saying it. So I'm working on that part of it.
Cheese and rice.
Yeah. Yeah. So we'll work on it, Jack. How are you doing with the first of all, the phones and then the swearing? We got 1 minute.
Okay. The phone.
I know you need it for work.
Unfortunately, I go to it way too often. Mm-hmm. I actually like the idea. I took when my daughters, two of my three daughters graduated high school, I rented a pontoon boat and we went to Lake Powell for 4 days with the girls, and they all got to bring one girlfriend and me and my wife and all these girls. And oh my gosh,
poor Jack.
But we didn't have any service at all. We had nothing out there.
Oh man.
And so it was 4 days of nothing, which was great.
Yeah.
And I didn't miss it after day two. I didn't miss it at all. So it was awesome.
Had to speak to each other.
Yeah. All we actually had to tell stories around the campfire.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Oh, we've used up the time.
Okay,
we don't have
buddy.
Time to ask you about swearing. So maybe next time.
Well,
darn it.
I have a lot to say about it, but not on the air.
Thanks for listening, everybody. Back tomorrow. Got a special guest tomorrow. You'll love him, Neil Walter.